that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers this Saturday morning. August 5th already. July has gone, come and gone. And here we are starting out in August. And so we thank you for joining us here live this Saturday morning from the Radio Ranch. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And we've got our brother Tim from Nebraska up early joining us this morning. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And folks, we welcome you, the remnant that have tuned in, that has their Bible open, their coffee poured, and, well, here we are. Coffee with the Wranglers, and what a beautiful day it is here at the Radio Ranch. A little hazy out this morning, but a beautiful sunrise about 6 a.m. And we've moved into that time of the year. The days are starting to get a little bit shorter. Still plenty of light out, but boy, it's the seasons march on. Well, John, would you open us up in prayer, and then we'll move on with the program this morning.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this time that you've set aside for us to come together to encourage one another to love and good deeds. And Lord, we ask that you would guide and direct us, give us wisdom and understanding, bring thoughts to mind that we need to be able to just handle these issues that are taking place in our lives, Father. We know that all the answers, the handbook, the rules of life are the Holy Bible, the Word of God. Father, give us a hungering and a thirsting to continue to delve deeper into your Word. Lord, your Word also says that in the last days, knowledge would increase. So, Father, we claim that promise for your people, those who will not bow their knee to Baal and boldly proclaim, no king but King Jesus. And Lord, as we see prophecy fulfilled, Lord. We've been hearing of the rumors of wars. And Lord, we know that you're quickly approaching what could be World War III. Father, we, your people, we cry out. Lord, just as 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, when your people, who are called by your name, humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, then you will hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land. So, Father, we do. We cry out for grace and mercy, peace and wisdom, Lord. We cry out for more Holy Spirit. We cry out for the distribution of those greatest gifts, Lord. Bring us to that place of complete obedience where you can once again distribute those gifts to your faithful remnant, Father, that we can use them for your glory to take back this country, J-E-R-U-S-A-L-E-M. And Lord, your word says that we are to pray that we are found worthy to escape the things that are coming. So Lord, this morning we lift up the remnant. Father, we're not perfect, far from it. But Father, our desire is to continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, we ask for forgiveness for our shortcomings. We ask that you would help us to be better, true followers of Jesus Christ. Father, that we would be willing to take the persecution, to sacrifice time, talent, and treasure, whatever it is that we have to do to serve you. We praise you, and we love you, and we thank you, Lord, above all for that great price your Son Jesus Christ paid on that cross to save a wretch like me. Father, I pray in these last days as well, Lord, that those that are yours would have the scales removed from their eyes and their ears unstopped, and that they would see the truth, the critical truth about repentance and being properly baptized, born again of the water and the Spirit, going into that watery grave of baptism, coming up white as snow, clothed with Christ, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that their name would be entered into the Lamb's Book of Life. But Lord, your word talks about three books. There's the Book of Life, the Lamb's Book of Life, and the Book of Remembrance. Father, each and every one of our desire as the true Christian followers of Jesus Christ is to have many chapters in that Book of Remembrance, Lord, the times that we've gone above and beyond what's expected of us. So, Father, I ask that you would help us to write a good Book of Remembrance for our families. Lord, that you would give us the opportunity to serve you. Bring those people into our paths, Lord. Give us the opportunity to share the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John. Folks, good morning. And again, welcome here. And John, I just wanted to take a minute reading in the Bible reading plan. I want to encourage everybody to be reading your Bible. It's what we are to be doing as Christians. Not only loving God, but loving our neighbors, forgiving, but reading His Word. Like you said, John, our instruction book. You know, when you go to school, you get books, and they teach you the things that you need to be taught if you go to the right school. And the Bible is certainly one that that we have that way, and we are to be reading it. Pastor had a very interesting message from years ago, and I'm sure you men have heard it. The title is called "Don't Put Jesus on an Ox Cart," and it's an old classic message. I encourage you folks, if you're not familiar with it, to contact us and order the CD, and we'll send it to you. But the title is "Don't Put Jesus on an Ox Cart," and the Bible reading plan yesterday and today in 1 Chronicles 13 yesterday, and then 10 through 14 yesterday, and 15 through 19 today, tell of that story. And It's been very encouraging for me to go back and read that. You read in 1 Chronicles 13 where David, he consulted with the leaders. He was being blessed by God, and they said, well, we're going to go get the ark. It was not in Jerusalem. And so the story is that, you know, it had been taken in battle, but they were going to go get it and bring it back. And they do. And everybody's celebrating and laughing, and they take an ox cart. It's basically a cart being pulled by a couple oxen, and that's how they're moving the ark back. And this is just the greatest thing. People are celebrating, and everybody has agreed with David to do this and to do it this way. And so they're doing it, but they're doing it wrong. Their heart might have been in the right place, but the law was still there. The way things were supposed to be done was still there. Even though they wanted to please the Lord. And in verse 2, David says to all the assembly, if it seems good to you, and if it's from the Lord God, we'll go get it. Well, they might have wanted to do right, but they were doing wrong in the eyes of God. And you read there in verse 10, verse 11, that those that touched it, they were killed by God. You read on in to chapter 15. In one verse I've got underlined in my Bible, it says in verse 13, because you did not carry it at the first, the Lord our God made an outburst on us, for we did not seek him according to the ordinance. Now, ordinances are laws, statutes, judgments, rules, you might say. There was a way God had told his people previous to this how to carry the ark. They were to be carried by the priests on poles, and that was the way it was. And that had not changed up until the time of David, and it has not changed until today. And so when they figured that out, that there was an ordinance, oh, there's a law regarding this, oh, well, maybe we should follow that. Then, when you read about it, verse 25 of 1 Chronicles 15, so it was David with the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands who went to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the house of Obed-Edom with joy, because God was helping the Levites who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And you read on through it, and see, when they did it God's way, instead of, if it seems right to you, or I think it seems right to me, let's do this. That was wrong in God's eyes. And there were people that paid for that wrong with their life. And I just see that, as Pastor pointed out in his message, and we see it in our land today, there are many of our people that they want to serve God. They want to love Jesus and to honor and to do the will of God. But they don't know. They don't know. And it's like that David transporting the ark. It's being done wrong. We see that in the churches out there. We see them, the churches, going to the wrong people, going to the Antichrist for guidance and for wisdom. And it just shouldn't be that way. We get back to his ordinance, just like David did. We get back to his word, his law. Now, we know that Jesus Christ came to fulfill that law, and in his grace and in his mercy, he does for us what we're able to do what the law could not do, and that's what Christ did. We understand that, but still there's a way, and that just was on my heart this morning, and you know, baptism is right there as part of it. Certainly belief, but that's just the beginning. That's just to get you, you know, to the repentance, to the baptism, to the holiness of life. It's part of that complete obedience that John, you're mentioning so often, that we are striving for. It's like David seeing that David did not seek God according to the ordinance. He wanted to do it, but it had to be God's way. And when it was God's way, the blessings flowed. Anyway, that was my thoughts this morning on that. So folks, read your Bible. It's chock full of these interesting stories, and they'll bring to mind from years ago when our pastor taught on these, and oh, how they apply today.
Yeah, that was encouraging. I read a story this week about how at least 12 members of President Trump, give him the respect he deserves, President Trump's cabinet was meeting once a week for a Bible study and actually delving into the Word. And the leader of the Bible study, I can't remember exactly who it is, but he says it gives him such satisfaction to see a lot of times Mike Pence will use what he's learned in the Bible study the week before as he's presenting to the media. Apparently the Second Chronicles 7:14 was something that was brought up in one of the early Bible studies before Trump even won the election. And so he's grasping these nuggets of truth and he's sharing them with the whole country, which is pretty encouraging.
Yes, it is. That's better.
It is.
That's better than it was. And, you know, better is better. I saw a little blurb of that as well, John, and one of the comments I think that the, and I don't remember who it was doing the Bible study, but or leading the Bible study, but he said that the men that were coming there were humble and teachable. And you know, that is a sign of wisdom when you know that there's something about maybe this that you don't know. And that you can be teachable. And I thought, praise the Lord that we have leaders that way. That are open to learning of the ordinance of God, just like David was in transporting the ark. Hey, there's a way to do this. Guess what, leaders? There's a way to lead. There's a way to lead this heavenly kingdom here on earth. There's a way to lead God's people. There's a way to receive God's blessings. And it's according to his ordinance.
Amen. Well, we touched base last week on what I think is another wag the dog situation where everyone's focus was on the repeal of abomination care. But what really happened last week that was significant, and if you listen to the news, you probably heard it, but that we passed sanctions on Russia and North Korea, and I don't remember if it was China as well, but so typically the sanctions are economic sanctions. They're designed to hurt them financially. And but this time there were several things that were different. One, it, you know, here's the first thing. It passed overwhelmingly, like in the 95 to 98% tile. When have you ever remembered anything that passed in a bipartisan
majority? Yeah,
like that, where everybody voted for it. And then second, part of that bill removed the power that the president typically would have to negotiate those sanctions with the president of the country which the sanctions are put on, unless he goes to Congress and says, Mother, may I remove these sanctions, you know. So in essence, for the first time in history, they removed the power that the president has to do that. And he signed the bill this week, and but he did state, he said reluctantly, I think, you know, what Congress has done here is will be devastating, you know. And then the other thing was that those sanctions that they put on Russia, they also warned every other country. And, well, first let's go back. The sanctions also include food, the sale of food. Now, that's typically not the case because food starves the people. It hurts the people. The economics tends to hurt the people as well, but but it's more of a government reprimand is what it is. But so the U.S. is not allowed to do any commerce with them or sell them food. And then the sanctions that they passed apply to every other country and nation that they must follow the same sanctions that the U.S. has put against Russia and these other countries. And if they break those, which includes the sale of food, if they break those, then those sanctions apply to them. So essentially what they've done is they've put Russia's back against the wall. And I guess I heard some statements of Putin this week that said just that. He said, you know, when you put someone's back against the wall, you really give them no other choice. And so is that what they're doing? Is setting us up for World War III? I would say yes.
You know, John,
if you look in, what?
Oh, just those sanctions sound like what the U.S. did to Japan in 1940. In 1941 was all sanctions. You cut off
back against the wall too.
Yep. Cut off all trade. Make it illegal for anybody else to trade with you, and cut off food. That's not. It seems to me the Bible tells me that hey, if your enemy's hungry, you feed him, and if he's thirsty, you give him a drink of water. And when God had blessed Israel in battle, and they would have, there were times that God told them wipe them all out. But there were also times when they were victorious, and they had prisoners. It was hey, feed them, water them, and send them home. And you know, if there's ever a time we've needed prayer from the remnant, it is now. It is now.
Yeah, I've been convicted of I think probably three really important prayers. One, that the things that are done in the dark would be brought to the light. And we're seeing that every day. So we need to keep praying that for the Lord to bring us to that complete obedience so that he can punish the disobedience of those that hate him and hate his people. And the third one is that... I forgot.
Well, John, I think it ties right back in.
Slipped my mind.
As you're gathering your thoughts, I think it ties right back in with our Bible reading plan. Because when you read this, that exact same thing was happening to David and his kingdom. You know, they were seeking complete obedience. And when they did, God's blessings were there. And in those that hated God, God defeated. God defeated when his people returned to him. And we see it again. We'll see.
I remember
it again.
What it was now.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and then the thing that's been ringing in my mind, I guess, is the pray that the Lord finds you worthy to escape the things that are coming.
Yes.
And I think that's what we need to be praying, not only for ourselves, but for the remnant.
Yes.
Yeah. Lord, give us wisdom. Lord, let us be able to hear, to recognize, and obey the Holy Spirit, and to be able to discern the spirits, to understand what is from God and what is from the evil one.
Amen.
Because there's a whole lot of deceiving spirits out there.
Well, when we talk about food, it's and about these things put against these other countries, and I was reading the other day about Venezuela over there, and those people, you know, they're starving to death. I mean, it's bad down there. I mean, their entire system is, you know, circling the drain. Economic, food, healthcare, you know, everything that makes people what they are, or a nation what they are. And that was like the next thing I looked at. They were talking about this occupational license in this country, and what a big regulatory hurdle it is these days for that to go on. And that kind of got in there. And then I was listening to the radio while I was doing some work, and the federal government had a big advertisement on there through their local you know, FDA or whatever it was, and they were talking about farmers retiring and donating CRP land into this trust where they're going to try and put new farmers in, because the biggest hurdle about farming is that no one can afford the food or the regulatory burdens or anything else to get started. So there's an upcoming huge dearth of new farmers coming in. And I look at, when I looked at all those things, I thought about 1 Timothy 5, where it says, don't muzzle the ox, and the laborer is worthy of his hire. At the end of the day, our Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And, you know, he pays his laborers. And it doesn't matter whether you're a farmer or a plumber or what you are, every good thing that you have comes from him. And they're out there trying to create all these problems. I mean, every time government gets involved in those sorts of things, it goes downhill. It doesn't go. They don't want to let people stand before God and work for the true Lord of the universe and feed people and take care of things. God has a way, like Richard said at the beginning of the show, God has a way. He has a process that works. It's worked for millennia, you know, if we just follow it. But instead, they want to get in there and tune and fiddle around with it. And what we end up with is wars and rumors of wars, Venezuelas, and all these horrible, horrible things that go on while they sit back and reap, or actually it's not reap their money, they rape their money from the laborers. So there's a lot of things there that could be, they don't need to be fixed. They wouldn't exist if they just followed God's way of doing things.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing, is when you talk to people who don't understand the Bible, who don't understand Christianity, who don't understand the history of Israelites, well, bottom line is most of them don't understand who true Israel is, but they can't understand. They see the world so screwed up, and they don't think that there's any way that it can be righted, you know, that it can be corrected. And it's just because they don't understand that God can do anything in all things, right, you know, in the blink of an eye. I mean, all of this, if everybody that was his would just, you know, fall on their face and cry out and ask for forgiveness. And, I mean, I still like to look at the story of Jonah and Nineveh. I mean, Nineveh was a wicked nation. And God was, you know, he had all the forces ready to go. And just because they had repented and fasted, and
yes,
he pulled back his wrath.
Yes.
And granted, eventually he ended up wiping them out, because just like most nations, they once again fell away from from the Lord.
John, I heard that, I don't know if it's all accurate, but I had heard that it was 100 years after Jonah preached to Nineveh before it was destroyed.
Too.
And so that's that was a 100-year reprieve. So at least that generation and the next generation, at least two generations were spared there, because they did turn to the Lord. And the people of Nineveh were not Israelites. They were not Israelites. They were Canaanites or Philistines or something. I forget what it was, but they were not Israelites, and yet they turned. And so, you know, that's why Christ came and bought the field, and he bought the field to get his treasure from the field. I think those two things tie in right there, and so it's anybody that will serve the Lord. It is any people. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter if that's a Chinese nation or a Zulu nation or an American nation or a South African nation, for that matter. But that choice has to be there.
Amen.
Well, folks, we have the phone.
Yeah, so I think we're excelling past the
point of rumors of wars, though. I mean, it looks like we're mounting armed forces to do something in North Korea. And, you know, the crazy thing in North Korea, though, is that Kim Jong-un or whatever, we know that he has nuclear capability and he has the ability to deliver short-term, short-distance missiles. So, you know, he's point-blank said that if the U.S. invades, then he's just going to push the buttons and launch it. You know, it may only hit Japan and it may only hit South Korea, but as soon as the nuclear war starts, then, you know, that's the beginning of the end. And this, obviously, this third world war is it's going to be a button-pushing war.
Amen.
And the Lord said that the next time you destroyed the earth, it wouldn't be with water, it'd be with fire. So, but all these things can be thwarted. That's the thing. If his people who are called by his name humble themselves and pray, seek his face, you know, that's the key to thwarting the destruction. It's the only key.
Yes. And we have to remember that we have a refuge. We have a fortress, and that refuge is Christ. You know, Psalms 91 is next Tuesday's Bible reading plan. It comes back around again. So I encourage you folks, be reading it. That is where we find our comfort. It's where we find our strength and our protection. And if the days need to come that just as Christ was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the midst of the fiery furnace, guess what? He can be with each and every one of us, with our families, if this land turns into that. And protect us and get us through that.
That escape hatch that John was talking about, praying to escape the wrath to come, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's absolutely right. There it is. Well, folks, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. If you'd like to call in, the program is Coffee with the Wranglers. And got a little coffee left here, and the Bible's still open. And that's what we're doing, talking kind of some biblical subjects and how they're, how kind of the current events are, how we see them tying in. And so, boy, the sin is rampant in the land. Society changing. Saw a report about less weddings. Says less Americans are tying the knot today than ever before, with record numbers putting off marriage. Just, you know, it seems like the average now, people are so many people are waiting until they're in their late 20s and early 30s to get married, because people are putting it off. And it's a change in society, I think, is what that reflects. A change in society that is not pleasing to God. There's so much in the Word, unfortunately, that's not taught anymore about marriage, about husbands loving your wives, and wives being a gift from God, I think really to understand God, we have to be married. We have to have children and know what it's like to have a wife and to experience that love and that work that goes into that, because it's so similar to the relationship that our Heavenly Father has with us, His children. Well, guys, let's see the phone line ringing. Let's take a call. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes. Good morning.
Yeah. You were talking earlier about the parallels between the sanctions now and Japan and the just run up into the Second World War. What's really been in my mind for probably 5 or 10 years now is, if you know a little bit about history, you know that Japan was a closed society. You know, they minded their own business, and they sent Admiral Dewey over there with a gunboat. He more or less opened them up and forced them to trade, and what the result of it was that, of course, they were very intelligent, industrious people, and so they started participating in the modern, economic industrial system, and they had to have resources. And they went around the world getting resources, and then all of a sudden the United States cut off their resources. And they cut off their oil, they cut off their supplies of minerals, metals and everything. And so that was what started, that was what drove Japan into war. And if we remember now more recently, China was a closed society, and Nixon and Kissinger went in there and, again, opened them up. And now we have the situation where China is, they're intelligent, industrious people, and they've grown and now going all over the world getting oil and resources. And now the United States is doing the same thing, choking them off. And there's a parallel that's always been, I've been aware of, and maybe this Korea thing is just the being used as a trigger to start this war with Japan and put them in their place, as they did with Japan.
Yeah, but then you look at possibly China, Russia, and North Korea allying, and that's quite a force from the North.
Yeah, it kind of makes you think of Gog and Magog, doesn't it? When you read a little bit in Ezekiel.
Absolutely.
It does. All the forces coming together. You read about that in Psalms 83. Everybody forming alliances and coming against to wipe out true Israel. And not that sandbox and those Israel lies over in the Middle East, but the new, as you say, John, the new JERUSALEM, the new Jerusalem. It very well could be. It very well could be. And
well, you couple that with the eclipse, in just a couple of weeks, and
yes,
then with the signs in the heavens that haven't been there for 2,000 years, and you start, the birth pangs growing closer and closer together. And all of these things are pointing to destruction unless we can fall upon our faces and we can thwart God's wrath.
Amen, amen. Where are you calling from, caller?
West Virginia.
From West Virginia. All right.
Right.
Well, hey, thank you, sir. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the phone call.
All right, thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
It's that easy, folks. 307-745-5913, West Virginia, tuning in this morning. And
it's interesting. I was checking email here, just looking to see if there's anything that's pertinent to speak about. And lo and behold, the verse for today, Luke 21:36. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be counted worthy to escape all the things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And then it says that the praying always that Jesus commands in Luke 21:36 affects every part of our Christian lives. It is the tool that God gives us to be in constant contact with Him so that we can truly bring every thought into captivity under the control of God. And then it lists 2 Corinthians 10:5-6, which we talked about as well. We are encouraged to make bold use of this tool for our every need, Hebrews 4:16. We need to explore some of the important implications that striving to pray always, praying at all times, has on this life to which God has called us. I was like, wow. Boy, that couldn't be more parallel with what we were talking about this morning.
Amen. Amen.
Well, and it occurs to me that as far as some of their, some of the marriage situations go, that, and even I was thinking actually about education, but one of the things that education's kind of a sacred cow as far as the government goes, because that's how they grab children, that's how they grab the minds of the people. And one of the things that interests me is they're talking about the fact that university and college enrollments are just dropping, you know, just, well, we've got to get this education up because we're going to have a shortage of workers. We're going to have, and it kind of ties back in with what I was talking about earlier as far as occupational licensing goes. It affects their revenue stream. But all their numbers that they quote are based off of their ledgers, their bookkeeping of licensing that goes on and of enrollments and of a lot of the other things. And there's a big move on right now for what they call life experience education. And there's several organizations out there that are putting together groups of people who have a lot of life experience and trying to get them into jobs that formerly were basically based on degreed, you know, locations or degreed people that handle that. And they're having great luck with it from what I understand. I mean, but the point I'm trying to make here is when we look at a lot of these numbers, whatever it is, whether it's marriage, whether it's education, whether it's health, those numbers are only based. And when we come out and are separate as God's people, as we've been called to be, they don't have those numbers anymore. They don't know. It's kind of like the homeschool movements across the country. They want to license the homeschoolers, but
yes,
generally, and they even talk about this, when people come out from that, there's a huge percentage of them that go, oh, no, we're done with that whole system. We're not going to sign up. We're not going to. And so there's always that caveat or that disclaimer when they're quoting these numbers. But they assume that there could be as much as 60% more that they don't know about. And I think a lot of times when we see that, we have to color that in our mind to the fact that, yeah, maybe this, you see what I'm saying? They're saying it's bad. It may not be as bad as we think. God may be working it for good because that's what he promised he'd do. I mean,
amen,
that those things are going on. So we should take heart in the fact that there's a lot of those, there may be a lot of those people that we don't know about, just like the prophet. The prophet didn't know, hey, I'm the only one. No, I got a whole bunch, you know, honey.
Amen.
And so that's there. That's something. And they use it as a stick to oh, it's, so anyways, I'm just trying to say that it can be a hopeful thing. And I, you know, try to balance that in our minds a little bit, that God calls his people out. And some of these people listen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. You can see, too, that there's, they've talked about it for years, you know, the past 10 years, basically, but right now there is a huge shortage of blue-collar skilled workers,
yes,
in the trade.
Yes.
And there's an opportunity like never before to get involved in apprenticeships in the trades and start out making decent money. I mean, you're talking $15, $18 an hour starting,
right,
in a 3 to 5 year apprenticeship program, because they're desperate for workers. And you know, today, if you can get someone to show up for work,
yeah,
5 days,
right,
in a row, or
and,
four
in a row,
and, that's right, show up to work and pass a drug test, then that guy be manager in 6 months.
I'm not even talking about the drug test. I'm talking about these small businesses. It was interesting. We had some carpet replaced, and I had to pull it out because of stink. The guy who had the home previously had a bunch of cats, and I am deathly allergic to cats. But anyways, normally when you have a carpet crew show up, it's a Hispanic crew.
Yes.
Well, this was a white guy and a white assistant.
Wow.
And I was, you know, kind of taken back by that. And the guy was probably in his early 60s, said he'd been doing carpet for 40 years, and he was in great shape because he worked hard. And
sure,
he just had one, you know, it was nothing to throw a roll of carpet up on his shoulder and carry it up and put it in. And he was faster and more meticulous. But the thing was, he says, I can't get people to work for me. He says, I've tried and tried. I told them, I'll teach you the trade. I'm not going to be doing this for long. I'll turn over my list of accounts to you. I'll sell you my van. I'll finance you. You know, I just don't want the whole industry to be taken over and, you know, by the illegals. And he said he had one guy that worked for him for a week. and he told them to go into a room and to rip out the carpet in the adjoining room. And he's just standing there. And he goes, well, I told you to go do something. Go do it. So then he goes over there. And 5 minutes later, the guy's standing in the hallway. And he knew he didn't get it done that fast. He goes into the room, and the guy's crying. He's 20 years old. He says, I didn't want to be here. My mom made me come to work. No, you talk about pathetic. That's about as pathetic as it gets. But then he had another guy who worked for him and worked well. And he was paying him like midweek and at the end of the week, or he would hold like a half a week or something trying to keep him to show up. And the guy asked him on Friday, well, can I get all my pay? And he told the other helper who was there, he said, he won't be back on Monday. And sure enough, he wasn't. And then the next one was the guy worked for him a week. He told him to come and get his pay because he quit. He never came to get it, ever. Never came to get a week's pay, so he worked a week for nothing. Hmm. It's, you know, probably because he's got welfare. And, I mean, I told the story several times. There's people who walk into brand-new dealerships. I have a friend that's part owner of a Toyota dealer. And they walk into those dealerships with nothing but government subsidy, and they're approved for a new vehicle. I mean, some of these guys are making, you know, $40,000-$50,000 a year on all the benefits they get.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, guys, let's
back to not doing it God's way.
Let's try a phone call here. Phone's ringing. Oh, he'll have to call back. That's right. Yeah, it. You see that, John? It's growing more and more. The people that will work a little bit, maybe under the table for cash, and because they don't want to lose their benefits. They're on that that government sugar teat, and they want to stay there. You cut that off, though, and some of them will just. I like how the Bible says that the alien will return to his country. He will go back to his own country, and that's when we stop feeding them. You know, the
well, they are. I mean, even now with
yeah,
that's, you know, that's the things you don't hear about is the good things that are happening.
Right.
You know, the border crossings are 70% down. And then I think what we witnessed again this week in Congress is the gnashing of teeth.
Yes.
As Trump rolled out his immigration plan, merit-based, you know.
That's
right. What a concept.
Yeah.
Most countries, you can't even get in. I know New Zealand, you can't even get into that country unless you have a skill that they need.
Right.
Whether it's an iron worker, whether it's a nurse or a doctor or whatever it is, you cannot become a citizen of that country. And it's not the only one unless you have a skill that they need. They don't bring people in who come in just for welfare.
That's right.
And, useless, just mouth breathers.
Yep, yep.
Exactly.
No, they all come here.
Well,
why should they go there? They come here.
More. Yeah.
But then you see the son of Cain. You see the son of Cain, McCain. Boy, did he show his true colors, you know, gnashing his teeth, saying that, oh, we need to, you know, reinstate the Gang of Eight, which was all for amnesty. And so there's some good things happening. And,
yep.
And if you look in the news, those things that were done in the dark are being brought to the light.
They are.
They're very close to exposing a lot of the corruption with Podesta. The demonic connections that these people have with their father, the devil.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember, but right before the election, there was things that came out that were so disgusting. You know, there's no doubt that there's child sacrifice, that they're drinking blood. All of these things, demonic activity in the higher ranks of the Democratic Party. And these things are being brought to light.
Yep.
Yes.
There
yes.
are. There are. Here in New York, in Brooklyn, had a pro-family activist talking about, you know, that Old Testament prophet Isaiah was right. There'll be a time when people call evil good and good evil. You got this these New York City politicians and members of Congress lobbying for leniency for this New York-based online brothel that's providing underage boys. It's perverted. But the judge, U.S. District Judge Margot Brody, listened and just slaps the guy on the wrist, basically says, we're going to punish you for a little six-month thing, and just lets him go. It's ridiculous. But because the judges are doing that, these judges will pay. But it is coming out. People are starting to see the filth that's going on and the depth of the depravity. And it is those birth pangs. But they
well, and I think that
they will come to an end.
To go back to what John was saying, or you were saying too, Richard. But you look at Nineveh 100 years later, if they were taken down. How many times in our Old Testament history, the whole Bible works together? When you look at the Old Testament history, how many times did Israel go back into bondage? Why did they go back into bondage? Because they forgot.
Yes.
Nobody reminded them. A couple generations later, they were like, so, who's God? What's he done for us lately? You know,
yeah.
And they took that away. They forgot. There has to be someone out there crying out that's saying, this isn't right. This is wrong. God won't tolerate this.
Amen.
And that's one of the things you hear here. We're learning too, but you know, God won't do that. If you don't work, you don't eat. That's an axiom. God said that's a rule.
Yep.
And he doesn't selectively employ those laws. Pastor Peter said that a long time ago. It's not like God sits up there and goes, oh, you're doing this, so, but everybody else gets away with it. No, these are universal laws, natural laws that God has set in order. If you don't work, you don't eat. If you steal, you'll repay. If you murder, you'll die. If, you know, these are all laws that make this creation work. Without them, there's chaos. Without them, there's destruction. So, you know, that's the way it works. He built it. He made it. He set it in order. And you don't have a choice whether you'll follow those actions. You'll either follow them or you'll pay. You know, that's just the way it works. And praise God for his justice, his righteousness.
Amen.
He brought those things in order.
Amen. His way is right. His way is right. We need to remember that. Well, guys, let's try another phone call here. Just about out of time anyway, running out here. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, Lord's had me in Habakkuk lately, and I think that's the time that we're in. If you look at verse 5, it says, look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder, because I am doing something in your days you would not believe if you were told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous people, who march throughout the earth to seize dwelling places that are not theirs. They are dreaded and feared. Their justice and authority originate with themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards and keener than wolves in the evening. Their horsemen come galloping. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swooping down to devour. All of them come for violence. Their hordes and faces move forward. They collect captives like sand, and they mock the kings and rulers and are laughing, and are a laughing matter to them. They laugh at every fortress and heap up rubble to capture it. I mean, you can continue on reading, but I think
it sounds like the North Koreans.
Yeah, and Chinese.
The Oriental. It does.
Gog and Magog.
Yes. Well, I like this staying with today's first Bible reading, 1 Chronicles 16, the last little bit, verse 35 and 36. Save us, O God of our salvation. Well, it starts out and says, then say, and this is a psalm of thanksgiving, then say, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us and deliver us from the nations to give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting even to everlasting. And when we do that, when we return to him in praise, in thought, word, action, and deed, because remember, he is coming back, and when he comes back, it's to his reward is with him, he says, to recompense, to settle up with each man according to his works, according to his deeds, according to what he has done. And so we are to be doing, we are to be praying, we are to be living that Christian life, folks. We see the birth pangs, we feel the birth pangs, we cry out, oh Lord, how long? How long are you going to, are we going to allow these MS-13 gangs and these illegal aliens to continue to rape and plunder and pillage almost with immunity throughout the country in these sanctuary cities? And we are to be crying out. We are to be standing up for Christ and not being ashamed of his word, of his law, of his ordinance. And like you said, Tim, not holding back in telling, because the people don't know. The people don't know. Boy, I see this ministry more and more. The pastor talked about it so long, you know, that the true church is the pillar of truth. The pillar of truth. And that truth has to go out. That truth has to go out. Well, guys, we're almost out of time. I want to invite you to come to church with us in the morning. You can come in starting at 8:30 Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. We'll have a review of the news for you, and then we'll have a timeless pulpit truth from our pastor. And John, are you continuing on with the Courts of Heaven series tomorrow?
I don't know. You'll have to come and find out.
All right. You heard it, folks. We've had a couple of messages from John on the Courts of Heaven. I'm looking forward to another one. It's got my interest piqued. I hope it has yours as well. We'll have some...
Stay tuned.
Amen. Some good worship music, worshiping the King of Kings and praising him. And we'll be able to... You can join us and take of communion. And so we invite you. Come to church with us tomorrow and do that. And make a morning of it. And it'll get your week reset. And it's part of that ordinance, just like we saw in David's time. It's part of getting that ordinance, doing it the way God said do it. God says don't forsake the assembly. He says remember me, remember my son forever. And that's what we'll do tomorrow. Well, guys, thanks so much for joining us. And folks, we thank you. Remember, our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
Rolling, though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of...
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake hide.